Brad and Brit, Brad and Brit, the perfect combination of brawn and wit. Politics, sports, and trending shit. Let's tune into Brad and Brit.
It is the Brad and Brit cast. Thanks for joining us here. We're live in the 1:30 Eastern hour on Tuesday as we put this sucker out. And about 5 minutes ago, Britt, you sent me a little Instagram video, and it's Gary Shandling and Tom Petty.
Correct.
Just shooting the shit and giving each other a hard time for absolutely no reason. You sent that, and anything to me with either of those two guys is, it's gold, Jerry, I tell you. It's gold. Here's the coincidence. Last night, if you are I don't know whether this is just on the spectrum, but last night, beginning at about 6:45, they bombarded the screen with the red stripe across the top, out the audio, there was an alert for an 8-month-old kid,
right,
who was missing in Chapel Hill.
Correct.
And not to make, I guess it can have fun with, you know, they found the kid much later in the evening. They described the kid as 1 foot 6 inches tall. Yeah. Okay. Well, I saw a kid that was 1 foot 9 inches tall.
It's not him.
Couldn't be the kid. Anyway. And when they do that, and I appreciate the importance of emergency alerts. I do. But of course, we're 75 miles from Chapel Hill where this kid was missing. And I'm wondering, well, is this a whole statewide thing? And then I thought, well, wait a minute. In a big state like California, if a kid is missing in San Diego, do they interrupt all across the state because it's the state of California, although Arizona and Nevada are a lot closer to San Diego? In other words, when does it ever stop? Here's the point. I turn off the TV. I said, Jesus, you can't watch. Turn off the TV. I come back an hour later. There it is again. I turn it off 45 minutes later. There it is again. I said, okay, I give up. We're going to have to go to something on streaming.
Right.
Because
on Hulu all night long, red stripe.
No. I said, here's an idea. Let's watch an old Gary Shandling. Okay. Oh, okay. An old Larry Sanders show.
Brilliant shit.
The show I picked out was Hank's Porn Tape.
One of the funniest ones. One of the funniest. God damn.
Oh my
that
God.
Is a fucking, it's easily a top five episode of the
it's
Larry
a top
Sanders
five show.
Easily.
Hank's Porn Tape.
What is the famous quote from Norm Macdonald in that episode? Guy's got a huge cock.
Yeah, and that's the basis for the rest of the show.
Everybody. You're going to wash your mouth out with Hank.
Finally, when that was over, we came back. The alert was down, and I learned later, I guess this morning, that they found the kid. The kid's okay.
Yeah.
And I know it's very selfish of me to even think for 1 second.
You know, well, you're doing comedy. We're not seriously, because I had all sorts of things I could pop in with, because I've read a few of those to officers and shit. No, but you're doing comedy. It's fine. There's nothing wrong with it.
Thank you. Thank you.
We're not
thank
getting into the details of all this shit, but I've thought about the Larry Sanders show a lot with the return of Jon Stewart to Comedy Central. He was on last night on The Daily Show because it was Monday. And you'll recall that one of the storylines that was ongoing on the Larry Sanders show was that he was coming to take Larry's job.
Right.
And the subtext back then in 95, 96, 97 was, we know this Jon Stewart guy's funny. We know he's good. We just don't know what to do with him. As an industry, they didn't know what to do with him.
Yeah.
And now I've gone back and listened to the oral history of the Daily Show and stuff. And it's just funny to kind of reflect on how lost he was and how they knew the guy had talent. He was very funny, but they just didn't know where to stick this guy. And then he found his niche in 1999 and kind of made history from there.
Yeah. Yeah. Although I did forget to name him on Monday on my list of both sides. There's Joe needs to get out. Joe needs to retire. Joe needs to be shown the door. I only named Ezra Klein. Who else did I name? Bob Costas. And who was my third person? Oh, David Axelrod.
Right, right, right.
John Stewart is in there also, and we bring it up because our good friend Keith Olbermann just wailed on Bob Costas today. I mean, he spent a half hour.
Was that kind of out of nowhere?
Severing his friendship with Bob Costas forever because
was that seriously like kind of? I mean, I know everything. Everything with Olbermann is kind of out of left field and random. But to me, that was just kind of like, where did this come from? What are you doing? Yeah. I don't get that. I don't understand that at all. Since we're on the subject, there was a New York Times piece about Jon Stewart coming back to. Did you see it? And it talked about how he injects some famous like Hebrew kind of sensibilities into humor, and it was what was needed. And
that's called borscht belt shtick.
He goes, you know, it was very funny. The writer goes, well, the late night had been dominated by these uptight Midwestern types like Jack Parr and Johnny Carson and David Letterman. Would you consider David Letterman to be an uptight white guy?
Maybe the most uptight of them all, right? He'd be the first one to, but that's okay.
I just found it humorous.
And Jon Stewart, you know, again, has one foot on one side and one foot on the other side. And it was very smart about the way he didn't come off as a, and I'll use a reference that's even more obscure than anything we've said so far. He isn't Myron Cohn or Alan King.
Wow.
Or one of these really old time Catskill Jewish comics. But
right.
Jon Stewart could have been that if he was born 20 years earlier. He could have been that. But
he wasn't even truly for the first at least half of his career. He never was considered a political comedian. He never really did political comedy and stuff like that when he was doing material. But
it was bottled up inside of him so much, Britt. He was just waiting to get it out.
I'm not saying
when he saw that fucking guy, Craig Kilborn, that stiff Ken doll pulling that shit off. By the way, I thought Craig Kilborn was very funny and was great on the show.
He was okay.
I don't know why he was pilloried as badly as he was.
I think Craig Kilborn is one of these guys that behind the scenes stabs himself in the stomach and shoots himself in the foot about as much as he possibly can. From what I've gathered from the stories that I've read about Craig Kilborn. But there's, you know, in the history of that show, The Daily Show, he never intended to be like an earnest voice of reason guy, but it was kind of thrust upon him that he was assigned this importance by some people, and he's like, okay, if I got to do this, then I'm going to do this. But I want you guys to be aware, I don't consider myself like sent from God to inform you people like the guy on network.
I sort of disagree with that. I think that was, he made that his own brand. Nobody told him to do that. And as it caught on and it garnered obviously excellent viewer ratings, and he had a cast of people around him, brilliant cast from Stephen Colbert to what's his name, the 40-year-old virgin guy.
Steve Carell is who we're referring to, the guy that's made like $3 billion at the box office in films.
That guy. And other people. I mean, he's like the Don Shula or Bill Belichick of comedy.
When you look at the pedigree,
people that have been with him,
when they started in '99, it was never considered to be that. The real pivot for him became when he yelled at Tucker Carlson on that Crossfire segment, and people started going, "Oh, well, he's got a point to make," and people started assigning him a bit of importance.
And I want you to know that at that moment, I supported Tucker. I thought he was unfairly ambushed by a borscht belt comedian who didn't know politics as well as that heir to the Swanson food empire Tucker Carlson.
How great would Crossfire have been if it just had Tucker Carlson going through different grocery stores, talking about how great they were, how shitty they were? How great would it have been if they would have just done that? They could have been so ahead of the game.
Did you read more about the whole grocery store thing? Apparently, there are like three or four of these really high-end grocery stores in Moscow that are shopped at only by the rich elite of Moscow.
And that's where they're very modern.
Right. And right. Of course. But you know, the rest of Moscow and the rest of Russia, you know, they probably go to stores with shitty empty shelves and crap and all that other dreck. And they're, so this is the definition of Potemkin Village, which, if you know what the derivation of that is, I believe that during the Stalin era, they would take American journalists to model cities, beautiful suburbs.
Correct.
That were constructed specifically to dazzle foreign journalists. And the most egregious case of that was a guy, I think his name was Walter Duranty of the New York Times.
Interesting.
He wrote in the 1930s about the wonderfulness of the Soviet Union in the New York Times, which to this day, it's one of their lowest points because they had a writer talking about how great the Soviet Union was. Yeah, I think he even wrote books about it. And eventually they got around to figuring out, Stalin, not such a good guy. And they had to apologize for it. And Mr. Duranty, of course, went on to start MSNBC in his later. No, he didn't.
Wikipedia tells me.
What's it say? What's it say about Duranty?
Mr. Duranty, whose name is spelled with a Y, not an E, like Jimmy Duranty, the famous actor, received a Pulitzer Prize for a series of reports about the Soviet Union, which were published.
That's how bad it was.
He won a fucking award for the bullshit. And later on was criticized for his denial of widespread famine. In the former Soviet Union, which is about to be again the Soviet Union, but
which by the way, of course, Tucker Carlson would have you. They eat beautifully over there now.
Has anybody pointed this out? I mean, has anybody pointed this out to Navalny's widow? Sure, your husband's dead, but you get to go to these beautiful grocery stores. Can't you just be satisfied with that? Has anybody pointed this out to her?
All right, I have a couple things on the list here. They're not that great, but. We'll see here. Don Jr. cocaine drop breaks bad.
Oh yeah.
What do you hear about Joe? And Don Lemon wins for the W.
I don't want to put Don Jr. first. Let's do Don Lemon first.
The other Don.
Part of the so-called Obama lookalikes that were hired at the beginning of the Obama administration back in 2008, 2009 by CNN. The other one, do you remember the other one? Because he's made headlines recently as well.
No.
That would be T.J. Holmes. T.J. Holmes, who now has a fantastic podcast with his paramour.
I've never heard of this Obama lookalike.
You never heard this? That was a pejorative term.
Because that sounds like something you'd hear on fucking Fox.
Correct.
Jesus Christ.
But now that I've said it, you kind of see it, right?
Because they don't look like Bob Marley. They must be Obama lookalikes. Jesus. Yeah.
Look, I know black people. I have the Trump shoes. I've been arrested.
Right. Somebody said, how long before we see Trump shoes for $3.99 on eBay? $3.99.
I'll tell you this. Until somebody gets shot for a pair of them, they ain't shit.
Don Lemon will reportedly get $24.5 million as part of his separation deal. We call that severance in the business. This is about a year now after he was canned. Settlement equals the amount that Don Lemon would have been paid had he been allowed to stay on CNN through the end of his 3.5 years that was left on his contract. So let's do let's do the math on that. He was making between $6 and $7 million or so a year. You multiply that by that 3.5, you get to $24.5 million. There you go. Not a bad gig.
You can live off that.
I could live. Yeah, absolutely. But Brit, the taxes, they'll just kill you. You got to move to Florida.
Especially, yeah, especially if you're in New York. I mean, if you're in New York or Connecticut, you're screwed.
Yeah. Don Lemon. Well, you know what I say? Good for him.
I don't begrudge a bit of it.
He shouldn't have been fired.
Do you remember? Do you remember ostensibly why he was fired? Like what the final?
Yeah, because he said Nikki Haley was past her prime.
And what has the last few months shown us, incontrovertibly, without any controversy at all?
That Don Lemon was right. She's too old to be president.
Well, no, she's too old to run. She's not past her prime as far as her age or whatever. She's past her prime because she sucked the blood out of Donald Trump's ass when she worked for him. And now she can't go back. I'm sorry. That's what happens. That was your prime. Your prime, the Nikki Haley high point of her political life is when they finally decided to take the flag down. And she was really forced to do that after people were massacred at a church by a Confederate sympathizer. When there was no other choice but to do the right thing, she did do the right thing. After that, it's all been downhill. It wasn't that great before.
When you read her biography, she grows up as an Indian American in a little town in South Carolina that we've never heard of. Now, just that little nugget should be enough for you to think, oh, that'll fuck anybody up. Okay. South Carolina, minority, not black, Indian.
Yeah.
And she certainly overcomes that, obviously, and made a good life for herself. I think she's an accountant by trade, but still, you have to traffic in all these white racists who dominate South Carolina. So what do? You pick the Republican Party.
Yeah.
There's just something inherently off about that, because the Republican Party is not the party you would choose, oh, say, if you were drafting a party for those who might be more respectful of who and what you are compared to the other party. That's a nice way of saying it.
Well, and the beauty of all that is, the beauty of all that is, all of those racist Republicans in South Carolina that you talked about just turned on her ass like on a dime on Saturday.
When they had the chance.
Yes.
When no one was watching, you're right. Because they had the opportunity to do it by voting for Trump. But that gets us to really the number one point today, which is what do you hear about Joe? And the answer, of course, is basically all you hear about Joe Biden is he's old, right? You don't hear much else.
That's it.
That's about all. And if you were to take your roving microphone and go talk to people out on the streets or in a restaurant or in a diner or anywhere, what do you think of Joe Biden? Oh, he's too old.
Yeah.
Now, they couldn't tell you anything that Joe Biden has done. They're not going to tell you about the Inflation Reduction Act or any other things that the Biden administration has accomplished. They're not going to tell you that unemployment is the lowest it's been continually for 3 years now.
Right.
They're not going to realize that when Trump goes to his rallies now and completely in the most vile racist way, but they love it, tells black folks that he's being indicted for them. Because as you know, most black people do get accused of crimes. And according to Donald Trump, the guy who was ready to hang five guys in New York who were innocent of a major crime of attacking a woman in Central Park. Apparently, Donald Trump, like all black people who identify with him for getting charged and indicted for crimes, are all innocent. I didn't know that Donald Trump thinks that all black people are innocent. Oh, I know. They just think that they're innocent, but they're guilty. He knows he's innocent. And people who think he's guilty, they're wrong. The reverse gymnastics, the dynamics of what I just said is so fucked up. I can't even remember what I just said, but basically that's it. He stands up there and they cheered for him at this black conservative convention over the weekend. But you know what? Did you know that Joe Biden's old? He's too old to do the job. And by the way, I don't know if you saw...
That's literally what he said this weekend, that black people are empathetic to him because he's had trouble with the law. That's literally right. What he said. This isn't hyperbolic. We're not exaggerating anything. He literally said black folks are coming over to my side because I'm being pilloried by the justice system.
And as you know, no white people ever get arrested or ever accused of a crime or ever convicted of a crime. It's just the blacks and Donald Trump. Okay.
I mean, like if you were at a job and you were in the coffee break area in the kitchen or whatever, and a white guy comes up, if you're a black guy and a white guy comes up to you and goes, "Hey, I can really sympathize with you people because I got arrested a couple times." If somebody actually said that, wouldn't you be obligated to slap the shit out of them? Because I would expect it. Like if a cop was called out there and said, "Well, what did he do to make you hit him?" He said that black people get arrested a lot, and because he's kind of an honorary black person. Oh, I'm clearing the call. You guys have a good day. I'll see you.
Right. Now, I bring all this up because the big question in the end here is going to be, even if Nikki Haley drops out, 2 hours from now, will she have exposed a rift among Republicans, quiet Republicans who may not have said out loud that they will never vote for Trump? They may tell some pollsters, and we see some evidence of that, that, and pick your poll, that anywhere from 20% to 30% say they would never vote for Donald Trump under any circumstance. The real question is that true? Are they really not going to vote for Donald Trump? And if so, will they just stay home, or will some of them actually vote for Joe Biden? In which case, it's a tough climb for Donald Trump, except for the fact that, by the way, did you know that Joe Biden is just too old? That's what I know about Biden.
That's it.
All right. So Robert Reich.
It gets funnier. It gets funnier.
Summed it up this way, and we were talking about this in so many words yesterday. According to the exit polls in South Carolina over the... By the way, is South Carolina ever known as South Kakalaki? Or is it just North
Kakalaki? I've never heard it. And I've been in all the t-shirt stores in Myrtle Beach, and I've never seen it, so I'm tending to think no.
Okay. According to the exit polls, Trump lost the moderate vote to Nikki Haley by a wide margin, whatever constitutes the moderate vote in the Republican primary. Associated Press VoteCast, which does the tabulating here, a little bit more than 1 out of 5 primary voters who voted in South Carolina said they would not vote for Trump in November if he is the nominee. Now, consider the alternative, though. Can't vote for Biden. So I'm going to close my eyes and hold my nose. Okay, we know that's going to happen with a lot of people. Question is how many. So Reich continues. The media loves a horse race because a horse race generates excitement and interest. So the media made the competition for the Republican nomination into a horse race. Thus, on Saturday night in February, the cable networks had panels of 10 people to analyze the South Carolina primary because it was that important. It was that exciting.
Well, what
back
else have
to
they,
Robert I mean, Reich.
What else have they got, honestly?
Leading the public into believing that Ron DeSantis and then Nikki Haley could actually beat Trump. It's a horse race. But, of course, neither of them has had a real chance. Yet by focusing on the race for the nomination and on Trump's victories, because you saw the headline, Trump romps in South Carolina. Trump rolls in South Carolina. The media is missing news that's far more relevant to the general election. The discomfort that so many Republicans feel with the incumbent Republican, that's Trump, now running for re-election. The danger, this is the bottom line, the danger is that as the media continues to describe the Republican primaries and caucuses as big victories for Trump, while telling Americans little about Joe Biden, other than the voters are worried about his age, he's old, the media creates a myth of a victorious Trump, a strong Trump, and a weak Biden, the myth that could carry over into the general election. That is the best flare that's been sent up. That's a concise warning sign as to what we're seeing now. We're seeing a lot of people, some of whom we've met over the years, who work in big media, covering their ass. That's what they're doing. They're covering their ass and not wanting to be perceived as telling the truth about the fact that if you want to play the who makes the bigger gaffes game, if you want to play the who forgets shit game more, Trump is kicking ass. He's killing. He's got way more. But you wouldn't know that, would you? You really, really wouldn't know that.
Well, you do have to be sophisticated, and most people are not when it comes to consumer of being media consumers. But that's exactly, you're going to get a lot more of that. Just be aware of it. By the way, I can steal a little bit from the Pod Save America guys, because I did just hear that when you're talking about folks that said, no way, no how Trump, and then what is that going to translate into in the general election? When Hillary and Obama finally made peace in 08, there was some, you might even remember this, there was some sort of like summit event in New Hampshire, and she threw her support behind Senator Obama. And do you know the answer to this question? What percentage of Hillary voters said that they would support Obama in the general election at that time? Do you remember this?
Oh, I heard this. It was real low, and then it turned out to be like 88%.
They said it was 54% initially. They ended up with 89% of the support in the general election in November of 2008. So if that gives you any kind of idea from the numbers that you just mentioned about the people that say no way, no how Trump, then I don't know.
But this is different.
A little bit.
I think because you're dealing with a flawed Donald Trump above and beyond that. If you need any kind of permission from God to this time not support the party candidate, you've got it and you know it. And it goes back to grab her by the pussy.
Yeah,
I like people who don't get shot. And you know all that, but you have put that aside for all these years. Well, Barack Obama did not have that problem with Hillary Clinton supporters. He didn't have some kind of horrendous history that they could call upon to say, no, I'm never going to vote for Barack Obama. No. And by the way, you didn't have, you know, the Democratic Party. And I know there's going to be, we're going to get a lot of cards and letters on this, way less racist than the Republican Party. And it wasn't a question of that being a reason why Hillary voters were never going to vote for Obama, or they said so early and then came home. So I don't think that that's a good marker. And by the way, if Trump only gets 88% of the Republic, that's not enough, I don't think. Although I know it only matters in seven states, and he's
ahead. But we wouldn't even be having this conversation if it wasn't for the Electoral College. I mean, if we were looking at a popular vote, we wouldn't be having this conversation.
Well, but we're not.
So we have the system that we have. It hasn't changed. I don't think it will in my lifetime. I'd love for it to change, but I don't think that's going to happen.
Have you nailed down your tickets to see Trump on Saturday here?
No, I unfortunately have. I'll be nailing my balls to a step stool, so I'm I won't be able to attend that one.
I don't have an answer yet, and I don't see an answer, and maybe we're just missing the point here. They keep saying he's going to be at the Greensboro Coliseum complex on Saturday, and I don't see where they're saying, you know, there's 20,000 seats available or whatever. And until we get confirmation, I don't believe he's in the big room.
I don't believe he's in the big arena. I believe there's a reason that you're not being given specifics about it. And I think you're spot on. I don't think it's happening. I'm trying to look on their website right now real quick, but I don't know.
It never says.
If I'm reading this correctly, it says, get out the vote rally with President Donald J. Trump. Wait for it. Special events center.
Ha ha! Touchdown. We were right.
There it is.
It's correct by omission.
There it is right there. I can show you a screenshot on the fucking screen where it says it right there. And we can publish this on our Facebook pages and everything else because it is 100% the Special Event Center according to the Greensboro Coliseums. And now Trump can rail against them for lying. I don't know why they said that. Bunch of liberals. It is 100%
there. A couple thousand.
That's it. That's all they got. That's exactly correct.
Yep. Oh, I knew it. I think the last time he even tried was that failure event in Oklahoma.
Yep.
Where I think Herman Cain got infected and then died a few weeks later.
He killed Herman Cain. You'll look over. I've got it for those of you that are watching us live on the right part of the screen, about 2/3 of the way down. Venue, Special Events Center.
Yeah.
That is 100% correct. He is not in the big room.
That is not where Jim Valvano and the North Carolina State Wolfpack
beat the University of Houston for that title. That was in 1983, and it was at the pit in Albuquerque. You're thinking about the 1974 David Thompson, Tom Burleson Wolfpack.
That's what I meant. That's what I meant.
And Jim Valvano was not the coach at that time.
He should have been.
He could have been, and he should have been. I knew from the fucking time that you said that, because I had not heard it, but I thought, he's not playing the big room. He's not. They can always say, well, they had another thing booked there. We were going to go for the big room, but we couldn't do it.
That'll give him there are tens of thousands, 100,000 people outside that couldn't get in.
Okay. there is a huge event in the big room. It is Dan and Shay, country duo Dan and Shay. For those of you that think Florida Georgia Line are just a little too noisy.
Are they going to sing Summer Breeze?
They are. Makes me feel fine.
Diamond Girl and Diamond Girl.
That's exactly what they're going to be doing. But it's a 2 o'clock rally. It is a 2 o'clock rally on Saturday. So if you're out there just grabbing something.
Because they told Trump, do it at 2 because the Super Bowl starts at 6:30.
Speaking of out there grabbing something, are you on the Clutch the Pearls thing over Joe Biden talking about the Palestinian versus Israeli conflict while eating ice cream? Are you as upset about that as some people appear to be?
No, but Britt, see, that's just Joe Biden's old. That's another version of Joe Biden's old, because I saw the headline yesterday. There's on media. Jake Tapper goes crazy. You mean he talked about Israel and Hamas while eating an ice cream cone?
I find this one to
be... Remember, it's never the content. It's never the issues.
It's not.
It's the... this guy, they couldn't tell him to put down the ice cream cone or do it out in the hallway or any that. It's that way.
So what? I don't care if he's eating a sandwich, drinking a beer, having a Coke. It doesn't really fucking matter. I'm so over, like, oh, that's, I don't know the optics on that one. I don't know if I'd have the bicycle helmet on for that one, Joe. What are we doing?
I can be so presidential. Watch me. I walk this way, and then I walk this way. I'm so remember that shit.
I know it's much more presidential when somebody like throws paper towels at people who've just been through a hurricane. That's really good optics. And anybody who hasn't seen it yet, you can watch that appearance of the president on the Jimmy the Sean, the late night show.
Seth Meyers.
Seth Meyers. That's who it is. Thank
Seth,
you.
Seth Meyers. He did. Jim Valvano did the show before.
It was late night with Jim Valvano in Studio 8H.
And remember the name of the show. It was Never Give Up. Never, never, never give up.
Never give up. Which Trump says he won't, but then all of a sudden he does. Hey, speaking of Trump, that son of his. Hey, he was in the news yesterday, wasn't he?
Oh, that's some wild stuff. Here you go. Firefighters and a hazmat team responded to Don Jr.'s home in Jupiter, Florida. Did he buy the old Burt Reynolds house? Remember Burt Reynolds Dinner Theater in Jupiter, Florida?
That's what he got.
This was Monday night after Don Jr. got an envelope containing white powder. He probably gets envelopes containing white powder once a week. Why is it so different?
It's white powder. He's all about white powder and white power. He loves both of those things.
According to the Daily Beast, he opened the envelope and the powder flew out. It's not yet clear what the powder was. Could be Johnson's baby powder. But Trump is okay, having released a statement to something called M&M News.
What the fuck is
that? An aggregator that he himself launched in 2022, in which Don Jr. said, "Now is the second time a demented leftist has mailed me a..." How does he know it's a demented leftist?
Right. Okay?
You don't know that.
I know where my cocaine comes from.
Yeah, that's right. Do you think that the cocaine cartels of South America are liberals? You know, you think they're pro-choice? You think
they definitely love guns. So I think they're fairly conservative, to be honest with you.
There you go. If this had happened, here we go. Here comes Don Jr. If this had happened twice to a prominent Democrat, there would be hearings in Congress. No, there wouldn't.
Stop it.
But since my last name is Trump, the media will move on in a day. You know, the Trumps, they're so unfairly treated, and they are caught doing everything. They never get away with anything in this country, Britt?
Well, that's right, and that's why black people flock to them.
The hatred the left has for my family knows no bounds. Now, that's correct. That's true. A spokesman for Trump offered a slightly more tempered version of what happened here. The test results came up inconclusive on what it was exactly.
It
wasn't deadly. It wasn't cocaine or fentanyl or something like that.
I don't want to say that he's overplaying his hand here, but Kyle Filipowski said, "Damn."